Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important. The champ is here.
We
touched down
from a higher plane. Why you made it here? We always look forward to that week because it was always intense. You know that we ain't
coming back. We got you. The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys in the show, but Dante was my guy. Get to dashing because you're done on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag.
Hey there, Marcus Dash here from Chief Concerns. Just want to comment and say BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for football, baseball, boxing, golf, and much more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online where the game starts.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Chief Concerns. I'm Marcus Dash here with legendary Chiefs tight end Jason Dunn. And ladies and gentlemen, the offseason is officially here and teams can legally begin to negotiate with players. Legal. I love this whole like illegal tampering versus legal tampering. Like, obviously, since Monday, these guys have been able to do whatever they wanted, and now today at 4 o'clock is legal tampering. I really don't understand that idea or a concept, but nonetheless, the new season is here.
Yeah, I think they just got to kind of make it like a formality, right? Just saying, hey, you know, this is where it is actually legal to do it. Okay, so all you cats that's been doing it before that was illegal. Okay, It was out of bounds, out of pocket with what you were doing, okay? But we know what goes on. It happens all the time. It's never going to change. It's never going to change. There's no way you can necessarily regulate it unless the team says, hey, somebody has illegally got in contact with our guy to do some things, get into the, your agent. That's what you have an agent for. So, I think this is very exciting. Very exciting, Marcus. How you doing, brother? What's going on?
I'm doing great, man. It's the season's coming. Today it began. Just the whole week. I'm seeing the chat here. See, mostly everyone's happy with so far with the free agency. Yeah, I know that we haven't gotten any new blood besides one guy we'll talk about tonight, Irv Smith Jr., the tight end. But like, you guys have to understand, the people who are upset we haven't made that many moves, we really bringing Chris Jones back. That was the number one guy in free agency. I know he was on our team. But going into it, when all those people did the rankings of free agents, Chris Jones was number one, and then Legere Sneed was like top 10 on that list. So, like, we've really retained two of the top 10 guys in free agency. So, like, if you're upset that we haven't made that many moves, just remember we brought back in the number one rated free agent. We brought him back, and he's here for the long haul. So, like, just give it time. Just give it time. I think receiver's going to be coming here in the next 2 to 3 days. If I had to put a bet on it, I would say the next 2 to 3 days. We'll have a new receiver in house, but like, I love what Veach has done so far. JD, we'll get into specifically, but like, what do you got to say to the people who are kind of impatient right now, wanting a new face in Kansas City?
No, man, that's what it is. It's patience, right? Patience is a virtue. It's a reason. It's a virtue, right? You know, a whole lot of people just can't deal with it. They can't do it, and so I know it's kind of nerve wracking, especially when you start seeing receivers and all other guys go to different teams, and everybody's trying to reload, okay? Everybody's reloading. So the Chiefs, we are kind of taking our time, but you are absolutely right. So what we did is we addressed our biggest issues. Our biggest concerns was Chris Jones, without a doubt. I think that was priority number one, okay? Priority number one. And so now with how it's going to be with Chris Jones and Sneed, what's going to go on with that? And I think they've been having a conversation in the war room as far as like what they're going to do with it. You know, we've been hearing, you know, teams acquire about, you know, L'Jarius Sneed and maybe trying to possibly make a trade with him. So that is one of those things that is going to continue the conversation going with him, or are we going to retain him, right? That's the thing about it. We went ahead and did a tender on him, a non-exclusive tender, which is fine. So we'll just have to see. We'll just have to see. But let me kind of address some of the guys that we did lose, okay, that's not with us anymore, okay? And so one of those guys is Willie Gay, right? We just seen Willie Gay goes down to New Orleans, right? Go down to the ward, man. So Willie, hey, man, you did a tremendous job while you was here. Loved everything that Willie did for us. Very athletic linebacker. We know the hype man of the Chiefs on the sidelines was Willie Gay. And so that can't be understated. His effectiveness that he had while he was here. But I just want to congratulate him for the success that he had with under Chiefs Kingdom in the Chiefs uniform. He is always a Chief. You're not dead to us. I don't believe saying you're dead to us to anybody that leaves from the Chief and goes anywhere else. You was a Chief. You're always going to be a Chief. That's how the way I look at it, man. So I just want to congratulate Willie for his very illustrious career here. And then we'll go to Tommy Townsend. Okay, Tommy, listen. We talked about the long-haired joker, long-haired leg that would put us in positions to win games. And there was nobody, I think, in the league that was able to do it as consistent and as good as Tommy Townsend. And my hat's off to him because he was a weapon. He was an absolute weapon for us. And I just want to congratulate him on his new role, new success, not new role, but yeah, new team to go help them out. And so he's going to be missed as well. You know, it's always when you get used to seeing guys for a number of years, it's always strange when you get somebody else that plays that position. Like, dang, that's right. The guy's not here no more. Tommy's not here. Ah, Willie ain't here for us anymore. So those guys were Chief staples. You know, I love both those dudes, what they gave here to the Kingdom. But like I said before, I just want to congratulate them on getting their new contracts and with their new team and hope everything works out well for them.
And also shout out to Nick Algretti, who's going to the Commanders as well.
See, Nick.
Hey, yeah, it's okay.
Nick Algretti, listen, the consummate pro, tough guy. Yeah. The guy that was always Johnny on the spot, the guy that you needed. He always fulfilled all the you know, on the line. Wherever he needed to go, he was there for us. And congratulate him on his new contract, getting paid like he should have, right?
Yeah. So
the reunion with him and Wiley out there with the Commanders. But, yeah, Nick, man, gave a whole lot. And so he was one of the fan favorites, no doubt about it. But, hey, man, much success going up there to Washington. Hopefully get everything that you want, brother. But we appreciate your time here. And just very thankful for all your effort, all the thing that you gave here with the Chiefs Kingdom. So,
yeah, I'm seeing out here, Ghost Hunter 1974, New Orleans being built down on the Big Easy. LOL. It really is. It is the Chiefs Southeast. You got Matthew there. You got, Tano, Passinho, Kalen Saunders. And then now you got, Willie Gay going down there now. So it's, they really are building the Chiefs Southeast down there.
Man, look, I think they're taking some of the guys that's been successful and bringing them down there and saying, like, look, let's show you how to do it, okay? McCole tried to go up right to the Jets and show that. Didn't work, apparently, right? And that's a little topic of discussion that's been going on for the past few weeks.
Sauce Gardner didn't really like that.
No. I watched it a little bit. I just – the little snippet that he had with Ryan, that he put out there on Twitter. That's the only thing I saw. I didn't actually get to see the episode.
That's all I saw too.
Yeah. So, I mean, you could take it for what it's worth. I don't believe, by matter of fact, it would be surprising if McCole had did anything like that. I don't believe he gave any type of indication to anybody what the game plan was going to be. They was going to struggle anyway. I don't care who it was. Now, you could say that he was disgruntled. He was upset because he lost his job to an undrafted guy. We don't quite know what all went on up there, right? We always know that there's always different stories that go on. And We don't quite know. Okay. Sadie dropping punts and all that doesn't matter anything. We know he came back here, won a Super Bowl, and so that was good for him. And I was one of those that I stood on the table and was like, we need to get Mecole Hardman back here. He was going to be good for us. And lo and behold, you see this? That's what he won right here.
Yep.
He won that. We needed him for that one. And if he wasn't here, then those things wouldn't happen. So
no.
All happens for a reason. All happens for my reason, my guy. So.
Yeah, so he's also a good product of just because we see a guy go. And look, Willie Gay, I mean, I don't think Willie Gay's going to come back, but I didn't think Mecole Hardman was going to come back. But Willie Gay's contract was a 1 year up to $5 million. I mean, like, they got a steal on him. And I'm surprised he didn't get more money in that. And I think this could be a bigger conversation, but I think the middle linebackers going the way of running back, but on the defensive side of the ball, where it's not being respected as it used to be, where, you know, middle linebacker position, they are just getting kind of underpaid. And a guy like Willie Gay, who's athletic as can be, man. I mean, he's obviously he's had some, you know, injury concerns over the years where, you know, he misses some games here and there, but 1 year up to $5 million. I mean, that's money where I'm like, gosh, why didn't we match that or whatnot? And obviously we're trying to save as many pennies and nickels as we can. I'm sure we threw him an offer. I'm sure it was probably a little less than up to $5 million, maybe up to three or something. That seems like Beach's thing, the three mil.
Yeah. Well, you know, we just got finished, you know, paying Drew Tranquil. So sometimes it's in your best interest to move on from guys, yeah, because you don't want that to be any type of contention, you know, in the room, possibly. But teams could have saw that we were kind of moving him out of the defense a little bit. When you start seeing time being split, okay, and you get a guy who can do what you can do, maybe a little bit cheaper, that's what happens. And then, like you said, it's almost like the running backs on that side. You know, linebackers are kind of like those guys that you can find a good one in fourth, fifth, sixth round, and you really can. They can find diamonds in the rough, and those guys can come and go. You just need a guy that can, you know, if you can get sideline to sideline, get vertical, know where you need to be on the field, you don't mind hitting people, shed and get off blocks and go make tackles, then you should be a solid performer in the NFL. Yeah. Leo Chanel, he's the guy that we got, you know, later on in the round, and you see him starter coming in and he's doing well. And so probably that could be some of the thought process with that. They just didn't want to pay him a whole bunch of load of money. And I think Teams are kind of, they're going that way. You know, when you think about certain linebackers. Mm-hmm. So,
yep.
Yeah.
We're seeing some comments here. So a lot of the questions you guys were asking, so about Irv Smith, we're going to get into that with our first topic tonight. SA Flip, I'll just post it right here. Appreciate the contribution to the channel. Really appreciate that. So that's also another topic we have on the show tonight. So we'll get to that as well. And I'll put this question back up there. So we have that. You guys have great comments and questions tonight, guys, because you guys are pretty much taking out our role for the episode with the questions you guys have. So we'll get to these as we go on tonight with the episode. So I guess we'll begin with some of the questions you guys have. So we'll since you guys, your questions are pretty much taking our topic, so you may as well just begin right here. So retaining our own and bringing in some new blood this week. So obviously we haven't brought in that much new blood, and I know some fans are getting kind of restless out there. We haven't brought in enough guys who are new, but just go quickly. Mike Pinnell, brought him back. We talked about him this week on our Monday show. Brought him back on a one-year deal. I think it's worth around like $1 million, I believe, based on spot track is what it said. But the team hasn't reported what the numbers are yet. Drew Tranquil, 3 years, $19 million deal that happened over the weekend. And then Deion Bush, 1 year, $1.38 million deal. Another guy we discussed on our Monday show 2 weeks ago. And then the new guy, tight end Irv Smith Jr., 1 year, $1.29 million deal. He comes to us by way of Cincinnati. Before that, he was with the Minnesota Vikings. JD, so obviously a lot of things happened this week. I want to get your head and everything on the tight end aspect of things, a new guy. Before that, we're retaining these three dudes who came and dominated for us, had really big, impactful plays in the playoffs. What did you make of retaining some of our own guys?
I think the Chiefs did an excellent job with that. We knew one of the helps that we were kind of thin was defensive tackle. We talked about Mike Pinnell possibly coming back, and I'm glad that we signed him. I think, you know, what he gave us toward the end of the season is the indication of what we're going to get next year. And so I don't think he was done by no means. He's a solid performer, solid guy to come in and get some quality reps. And I always talk about his big arms, right? That Doge got some of the biggest arms I've seen. Him and Richard Cooper. I played it with an offensive tackle named Richard Cooper. And when I'm talking about arms, it's like yoked. That I'm like, man, dude, you know, I've been in the weight room. You know what I'm saying? I got some big arms on me.
No, I know you do. So you saying that's big props.
man, I'm giving props on that. I'm like, dang, God. But Mike, man, I think would also, too, when you go back to the film and you see when he threw Trent Williams, you know, just kind of tossed him, that's what you need to see. And I've always said this. Anytime I can see a guy do something one time, you can do it 100 times. You should be able to do it 100 times, right? That's in your ability. But that is much needed depth. That is, he's going to compete, you know, to get some significant reps. So if we decided to address maybe defensive tackle in the draft, which I do believe we will do, okay, getting a young guy here. I've always said this. We need a complementary piece with Chris Jones. Mike Pinnell is a guy that is a run stopper. He's got push. He's got good leverage. He's going to be able to help us out. And thank God we signed him for another year, man. Thank God we signed him for another year. And so then I move on to Drew Tranquil. We talked about this. And Drew Tranquil, because of his versatility and because of his athletic ability and what he can do, the way he was able to come in for Nick Bolton and Willie Gay when they were out, tremendous job. He's a starter in the NFL. He's a starting linebacker in the league. We know this. And with him coming in on the one-year deal, we got to steal from him then. We did. You know what I love about this, though? I love that Drew loves Kansas City, that he appreciates everything about Kansas City, that he believes this is kind of like a college field town. Like he just – I've seen him doing maybe it was a live or something. He was just talking about how everywhere you go, you see the Chiefs flags, you see people wearing the shirts, you see the hats. Like, they just love their Chiefs. And he loves that they love the Chiefs. And he just loves it all the way back, man. He can just get into the feeling of what this atmosphere is. And, you know, he's one of definitely the fan favorites out here. I love Drew. I think he did a great job. And I did say, okay, he was maybe one of those undersized linebackers, right, that sometimes he's struggling in the run game. But he makes plays all over the field. When he's in there, he makes a difference. He makes a difference. So this was an easy signing for me. I'm glad we signed him back. Bravo for the Chiefs for doing that.
I think today he was on an interview with the Chiefs team. Did like an interview with him. He said that coming to Kansas City was like one of the best things for him. It renewed his love for the game. And I think that speaks volumes about, obviously, about the town, the culture we have, everything about the Chiefs organization. And obviously winning cures all. If you do have problems with teams and all, and that does help going from the Chargers to a championship organization. So, like, I will say, man, like, hearing that from him and then seeing the deal some of these other linebackers have gotten out there, it's like, whoa, like, 3 years, 19 mil for this guy. And it's like, we got a steal on him. And that tells you how much he actually loved playing Kansas City. And talking about hometown discounts, I mean, he could have, based on the way that he played in the playoffs and the season, he could have gotten a big deal somewhere else, I'm sure, based on some of the other deals I've seen. But yeah, it was amazing to hear him say that.
Yeah. I don't know what the bites were around the league. We don't quite know that, but you know, if you're happy and you don't feel like going out there and taking the time to go see every team, what everybody's looking at and get poked and prodded, man, go ahead and sign with the team you love, right? If you love being where you at, shoot, make it known. Yeah. Like, look, I don't have to go down the street and know I'm not going to win, or I'm going to have to be challenged to win and come to work every day and may not be happy. But like you said, it's the culture in itself that they love that. They you know, he just loves being around Chiefs Kingdom. But we, like I said, we don't know what he was getting out there. If he was, you know, getting anything, maybe in his mind, he's like, look, I want to be a Chief. This is what I want to be able to do. All right. So the rest of the time here. So yeah, man, Drew Tranquil, man, is a great fit. He's a chief. He was meant to be a chief. He did out at the West Coast. Come on out here to the Midwest. That's where you want to be, right?
And I'm sure being a free agent last year, because you remember it took a couple of weeks before he ended up signing, because he had the whole deal with Chargers. They like were trying to like pay him less. They ended up going to get Eric Kendricks, who they cut after 1 year. But he got a taste of free agency last year, so maybe that played a part in. Like, look, I know it's out there. I like being here. I want to stay here. What can we do? And they got it done quickly, and they checked that off the list pretty early last week.
Yeah, you know, people don't realize how much of a tedious process that is, being a free agent. Flying to different places, getting on the phone with your agent, getting calls every day, wondering about, you know, are you this guy, you're that guy, what's going on? The negotiations can really be overwhelming. It really can. So sometimes you just want to settle in and say, look, I want to be somewhere. I want to be at home. I want to find me a fit that is home. And it's not always about chasing the money. Every place doesn't feel like home. Every organization is not the same. The Chiefs organization is one of the best in the business. No question about it. And so if you came here and you had that really fuzzy feeling, you had a great time, you win a Super Bowl, hey, it makes sense. It makes absolute sense. And so, you know, he don't know if he's going to get a huge contract of the, you know, 75 million. He's man, I'm telling you, this is, you ain't lying. These contracts going on right now, man, are astronomical. It's something else. It is something else. But this is the business. This is how it goes. And I'm glad it is where it's at right now.
Yep.
So.
So the other guy was Deion Bush, who we've talked about. Great special teams player. Came up huge in the championship game with that interception against Lamar Jackson when he filled in. For a bit. Mike Edwards went down for a little bit. What were your thoughts on bringing him back?
Deion Bush, another solid player. Like we said, these guys are intricate parts into our success for last season. And so when you're looking for continuity, he's a guy that you can say, okay, we have him out here on the field. You know what you're going to get out of him. It ain't like getting a guy in here. You don't know what you're going to get. And so Deion Bush is one of those guys, especially that shows up on special teams. And then when he can come in, he gives you something on the field too. Come on, man. That's a plus-plus. It's a win-win. So my thing is, man, Bush is he's a guy that tries hard, is a hard worker. Guys like him on the team. I think that was an easy signing, and I'm glad he's back.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was a guy we highlighted when we did our DB kind of looking at the overview a couple weeks back. Glad he's back, really. I mean, and also, too, when we had Nazi on, he talked about Justin Reed and leadership of Deion Bush, how they kind of taught the young guys how to be a pro. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that you don't see on the field. That's stuff that goes on behind the scenes, especially when you do have such a young group back there. You kind of have you have your veterans doing other things besides just the play on the field. It's the other stuff they're helping out the guys with.
Yeah, that's a whole different investment. And so things like that, that's why it's always hard to put a price tag on something of that nature, right? Of getting other guys ready and talking to them. And I love Justin Reed was just talking about how guys are, you know, they play together. They love being around each other. It wasn't like, you know, when he was down in Houston going to the office and guys are leaving home because they had families doing other things. And it was like, everybody's gone. But these guys hung together the entire time. And that's why they were so successful. And so Deion Bush is one of those guys. He's a guy that is a staple for what they do on the secondary. So.
Okay. So we talked about that's the guys who retained. So now we got Irv Smith Jr., tight end, the position, you know, very well, JD. Backstory by name, he was a high pick, second round pick, also something you know very well, being a high pick, coming out of Alabama, had somewhat of kind of an injury plagued history so far in his career when in Minnesota, but you can also say he wasn't really utilized that much. He came into a system where they already had, what was his name? Who was the tight end they had in Minnesota for a little bit?
PJ Hockenson. You're talking about big boy up there in New York.
Yeah, he had like a half sleeve too.
Yeah, yeah. I can't think of his name. Yeah, with the Jets. Yeah, got it.
Oh man. But anyway.
Yeah.
He was it's really slipping my mind right now. So he joins that team, has some injuries there. And then he goes to Cincinnati this past year, 1 year deal in Cincinnati. And obviously, now he's back in Kansas City. I don't know what that means to as far as going with Blake Bell. If this is it, Jody Fortson. I don't know. I'm going to pretty much ask you that. So we bring him in. We got Noah Gray and Kelsey on the squad. Then you got the Jody Fortson and you got the Blake Bell conversation. Are those guys that come on? I don't know. So what do you think about the move, A, and what does that mean for the Jody Fortsons and the Blake Bells of the world?
I like Irv Smith. I've always thought that Irv Smith was going to be a star in the league. From his time down in Alabama and coming into the Minnesota, he was always a guy I had my eyes on. You know, if you look at him, man, he sucker looks like a bodybuilder. I mean, he's put together. And so he ain't got the shred of fat on his body. And you know he's athletic. He can catch a football. He can block. He can do all those things. So I've always wondered why this is, it was always kind of a hard thing to get him to get, you know, focused on. But, yeah, we said that, you know, injury plague season, that's the issue. That's the problem. So he's a great depth piece for us. So when you're thinking about 13 personnel, he's a guy that can go out there, catch the football, go block well. Ghost Hunter 1974, I think Bell is gone. I think so, too. I think there was a move they were saying, we're going to get another guy that is that can do a little bit more and be involved in the offense. And so if we want to make this thing where it's a danger to bring in 13 personnel, you got to go get a good tight end. And so Irv Smith is that guy. And so he'll give you something. He's got some catches, but he can block as well. He can block as well. So hopefully he'll come here, man, revamp his career. Didn't work up there, man, in Cincinnati with him. That's another thing. I didn't make any sense. You know, they had, what, the dude Sample? Is that, you know, Drew Sample? So hopefully, man, he'll find a home here. But I'm excited. I'm excited about Irv Smith. I mean, he's got some wiggle in his hips, man. He's a strong guy. He's a strong guy. As a tight end, you appreciate guys like that who come in and is going to work hard. I think he's going to do a good job here. I do. And especially under Kelsey and, you know, Noah Gray, he'll fit perfect in what we do in that room with tight ends. But he's got everything to him, man, that you need from that position.
Yeah, so the tight end I was thinking of, so when he got drafted in Minnesota, they already had a guy. Kyle Rudolph was the guy there.
Kyle Rudolph was there. But then they had the other big dude that was up there with the Jets, too, because Conklin. There it is. That's what I'm thinking about, Conklin. Because that's why I couldn't understand why Conklin was coming in and Irv wasn't. Well, they was doing a whole lot of two tight end sets that Irv was kind of getting some play in. But then all of a sudden you start seeing Conklin kind of move up before Irv. And I'm just like, okay, what's going on here? So I don't know what that was. Maybe we could get Irv on here and talk about it a little bit. Okay. Reach out to some tight ends and see what's going on. Yeah. So come on the show and talk about it somewhat. Okay. And he can shed some light on everything that was happening with him up in Minnesota. But I understand when you're a high draft pick and you can't help but injuries just come. What do you do? So, you know, you just got to kind of deal with it. Take it for the best that you can. And, you know, he'll be here and he'll service us well. So he is an upgrade in our tight end depth, no doubt about it. Tight end too, right? He's right there with him. And so he's got some experience. He does. He don't know a grade. They two different animals, two totally different animals. Noah runs good routes, catches football. Irv can do the same thing. It's going to be a much bigger blocker. So that's the thing about that. He's going to be able to bring. So,
and the thing I love about it, if he is the ultimate replacement for Blake Bell, because, I mean, I think Jody, as long as he stays healthy, I think he's definitely an asset for the squad. I mean, and who knows? They may go get a tight end in this draft. I don't know what's going to happen as far as that. But talking about Blake Bell and Irv Smith, because he can block, and he's also kind of a weapon in the receiving game. Whereas when Blake Bell was in there, chances are, like, I think he's staying at the pass block or run block here. Whereas there's kind of a giveaway there where Irv Smith, he can do a little bit of both, and I think that does give us a little more flexibility as far as utilizing him in the passing game, the blocking game, run blocking, whatever. And I think it kind of gives us a little flexibility there as long as he can stay healthy.
And the thing is, you almost got to make it hard for teams to get rid of you, okay? Like, you got to earn your keep. So what ends up happening, if you're not really getting a whole lot of reps in games, they want to know why they need to retain you. Okay. So they're always looking to upgrade and get better every single year in every particular position. You know, nobody's ever going out there like, let's step back a little bit, or we go okay with where we are right now. And if you are thinking that, it shouldn't be. So no doubt about it. I think Irv gets out there, man. He can catch some balls. He could absolutely match up with some linebackers, some safeties to get open and catch the football. He's got strong hands, man. I'm telling you, this is a strong guy. This is a strong guy. So I think the team was just thinking about moving in a different direction. Like you said, we don't know if we're going to get another tight end in the draft. That is a possibility, okay? Yeah. That's a possibility because Travis is older, right? We don't know how long he's going to play. I think we have at least 2 years with Travis, at least two, okay? In the meantime, to be able to give Trav a little bit more of a rest if we need to, pick and choose when you bring him in, here comes Irv Smith. Let Irv come in and do what he needs to do. I don't know what's going to happen with Jody. I liked Jody when he was here. The injury right here kind of sidetracked him, sidelined him a little bit. But with teams, man, NFL, we know how these things sometimes work. Love to have him. We know he can catch football. You know, used to be a receiver, former receiver. So we don't know. We don't know. Does that mean that they say, well, look, Noah Gray has taken that role of being the pass catcher tight end behind Travis Kelce? We need a guy that can do a little bit of both. Is Jody Fortson, is that something that is too much, you know, that we need to do, right? Or
redundancy?
Redundancy. That's what redundancy. Is it redundant? I don't know. So that's something we have to figure out, man. Or at least the Chiefs got to figure out. But I think we all like Jody. Jody came in and he gave stuff to the Chiefs that everybody loved. He can catch the football, absolutely catch the football. Go up and go get it, do whatever. So,
yeah. We just have having Jody and Irv Smith, two guys, you both kind of injury prone. I mean, if you look at their history of their careers, they've been plagued with injuries, unfortunately. So, like, having two of those guys in the roster, that's
not good. It's not good. Not good. You know, teams look at it, it's a business. Hey, it's never about popularity. It's not a popularity contest. Try to win games. So sometimes these things happen.
Yeah. JD, we got a question here from Brenda Pike. What's up, Brenda? Does bringing Irv preclude taking a tight end in the draft, in your opinion?
No. No. I think, to be honest with you, if we're looking at the draft, okay, I haven't really gotten into like who's all out there for tight ends, okay. But my thing is, if you go in the draft trying to find a guy, what round are you getting? Who are you actually looking at? Who's the guys is jumping out of film to you? Okay, so. My thing is, if you need to go in and get somebody, you need to do so. I mean, you have to. So, Irv coming here, I don't think changes that whatsoever. It doesn't change it whatsoever. So, the thing is, like, when you're looking future-wise, because it's always about, do you replace Kelce? Irv Smith is not coming here to replace Kelce. He's not coming to do that, all right? I don't think... First off, there's no replacing Kelce. You know, trying to get the same type of, production from a guy, athletic ability from one of the best tight ends ever to be in a game, get open and rapport and all those different things, that takes time. That is time consuming, okay? That starts day one. It's hard for a guy to come in and do things like that. So, I don't think Irv came in to be the replacement for Kelce, but I do believe that we may have to address getting a tight end in the draft. So,
yeah, it's like the the Autobots. You know, like there's no Optimus Prime is its own thing, and when he's not there, you need the collection of the Autobots there to kind of take up what Optimus Prime does and Kelsey's not out there, you're going to need a little bit of, from everybody to kind of chip in and do and kind of replace what Kelsey does. So there's no fighting one for one. It's not going to happen. And everyone's talking about replacing him, and we need to find a guy to replace him. It's like, not going to really replace that production. You can try to get a bunch of different guys who can do what he can do. And I think one guy in this draft, not tight end necessarily, is Ladd McConkey. I mean, just some of what he does is very like kind of the routes he runs and what he does when at Georgia, very Kelsey-like as far as the kind of routes he runs and the kind of the way they utilized him. Not saying he is Kelsey, but that's the kind of guy who can kind of, you know, maybe take up some of that, what Kelsey can do.
So why not go for then Blake Bowers if you do anything? I know you're probably not going to get him. He's a first-round pick. I mean, he's going somewhere,
you
right?
You got to go up for that.
But I don't think the Kelsey, he probably won't be there either.
He's going to be somewhere going. He timed really well because originally when the mocks first came out before the combine stuff, he was supposed to be late first, second. Now with his times and stuff, he's skyrocketing up. If we want to make sure we can get him, if that's the way we wanted to do, we'd have to probably trade up like we do with McDuffie, get up a little bit earlier.
His draft stock is rising, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
So are you high on him? I watched
McConkey? Him.
Yeah.
I like him.
Do you? I mean, I like him too. I think, you know, he's a guy. I think he runs good routes, speedy. Because I kept watching the video, they were doing a cone drill catching the football.
Okay.
I mean, I like it. I like it. They may be looking for, I don't know, maybe a different body type. Yeah. There's other guys that everybody talks about. I wanted to get into a little bit more today. I didn't get to watch the receivers like I wanted to. I was pulling everybody up and just kind of, I was like, dang, I got to go. I had something else I had to do. So I didn't really.
That'd be good.
But.
I think it depends as far as this draft, because he's kind of like a small guy, but he's more like a, like I said, like a Cooper Kupp, like Antonio Brown kind of size, like 5'11", 6 foot. Like, you know, he's not like a Wes Welker type, not an Amendola, that kind of type. But I've seen some people like, oh, he's Julian Edelman. No, he's not. He's not like that. But I like
Renfro more so.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like that's that. Not bad.
It's crazy. We compare white guys.
I know. It's funny. Well, that's why when I saw Antonio Brown, Cooper Kupp, like that's pretty good because I mean he does remind me a lot of, because he's just smaller stature guy. You can put inside slot and outside. You can do a little of both, just like Cooper Kupp, not just a slot guy. You can do a little bit of everything, which I kind of like with that aspect of him. And obviously Reed would love that. Yeah, but I guess it depends, because this draft primarily there's a lot of more so bigger type of guys. That's when last year's draft we got Rice. It was mostly a draft of smaller stature guys, and it was mostly a lot of like the smaller type of guys. And we got Rice, one of the few big guys in that draft. This mm-hmm. draft mostly bigger guys.
Dudes, man.
It's mostly tall bigger guys in this draft. Yeah. And it depends what we do as far as grabbing a receiver, and we're gonna head there now with our receiver. So wide receivers wanted, and I know that's the big thing everybody wants. Everybody wants it. I want it. You and I both want it. We've been dying for this for 2 years. So rumors are starting to kind of swirl. We kind of alluded to it on Monday night when Hollywood Brown actually liked our tweet about get it done, Veach, with the handshake emoji. He liked our tweet with a picture of Mahomes in Hollywood throwing a pass. So, you know, alluding to that. Since then, it's kind of gone wild. He's gone on Twitch watching highlights of Patrick Mahomes with fans and his live Twitch thing. I follow Patrick Mahomes on Instagram. So Hollywood Brown, and there's also some reports out there that there's mutual interest on both sides. Brett Veach was very interested in him coming out of the draft back in 2019. So there is interest there. And then you got Curtis Samuel, who JD loves, and then Josh Reynolds. So these are two guys that Nate Taylor has said, of the Athletics, Nate Taylor said that Curtis Samuel and Josh Reynolds, the Chiefs are interested in both those guys. So JD, I want to go through each guy with you. Let's talk about the pros and cons of each one of these guys, of how they would fit in this offense.
All right. Before I go into those guys, I'm going to say this. I do believe the reason that we haven't signed any receiver thus far is because they knew guys were going to get released, like a Hunter Renfro, like a Mike Williams. Like Odell Beckham Jr., you're starting to see guys getting released now, okay? And so that opens up options for the Chiefs. I think they knew this. Because it ain't like, oh, well, how does look? They're talking everywhere. These teams are talking all the time about doing deals, about, hey, man, we're going to let this guy go soon. What do you think? And so I think the Chiefs knew that. So they just didn't want to put themselves in a box just with these few guys. Okay, same thing, Calvin Ridley. Sucker got paid.
He did.
And we knew he's going. I knew he's going to get paid. Look, he holding out for a reason, and he knew it. So there's a lot of negotiation going on, you guys. Now, with that being said, every guy's not a fit for every system. They're just not. They're not. But those three guys that we're talking about, okay, Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown, Curtis Samuels, okay, and Josh Reynolds, three guys that we're talking about here. So I'll do Hollywood Brown first. So Hollywood Brown to me is he's a good receiver. He's a very good receiver, very fast. Had a great season up there in Baltimore where he had 1,000 yards. Was torching guys. Looked like he was going to be a star in the NFL. He really did. I mean, I'm like, this guy's coming on. Antonio Brown's cousin, so the family history like that keeps going on. Like, okay, well, you know, maybe this thing happens. And he shows that. He shows all that ability. The speed, getting out of breaks, the cuts, flying from guys. This is something the Chiefs would love to have. Now, the pro for that is all those things. Take the top off the defense. Speedy guy, right? The cons of it is where his injury history is. He's a smaller statured guy. Okay. I don't know what the talks are between teams or what they're saying about him, what type of locker room guy he is. Like I said before, nobody really knows too much about him. Okay, as far as other than what they see on the field. And so sometimes injury history is absolutely a concern, especially where I've seen like heel, we're talking about ankle and all those different things that he's had, hamstring. But speedy guys are going to have that. Hamstrings, you're going to have that as a speed guy.
Oh, yeah. Okay?
Tyreek has it. I mean, that's just you're fast. You got fast twitch muscles and fibers. So you're going to tear a few things. So he can do a lot of different things in this offense. That we've seen. And I seen the video you showed of him in Oklahoma. that was a couple of years ago. It was a few years ago, right?
My point in that is I got killed from some people saying, oh, you're bringing up stuff from like 6 years ago. My point in that was when he came to the NFL, especially in the first few years, and the kind of the reason why Baltimore got off of Greg Roman was kind of the lack of creativity within that offense, not allowing Lamar to kind of have a more of a passing attack. And he still had 1,000 yards in that Greg Roman offense. And yeah. I think there's a lot of things he did in college in that Lincoln Riley kind of air raid-esque type offense that he didn't really get to showcase in the NFL so far. And then be it injuries, maybe, you know, limited opportunities in some of the teams he was with. I think that if there is anybody who can kind of bring back out some of those things that he did so well in college, it would be Andy Reid. And that was the only reason why I used his college highlights.
Right now, look, and that's what I was talking about. Systems matter. They really do. Systems really do matter because, you know, teams are utilized guys differently. And so we don't, you know, Lincoln Riley, the things he runs and how you get guys open. Andy is as creative as anybody. We know they're probably the most creative coach out here, to be honest with you. Yeah. We can utilize that. So that's the questions with him. All right. Is the durability. I love that he's following Patrick Mahomes. We don't know what that means. We don't know what he's asking for as far as, you know, for price tag wise, what he's looking to get signed for. That's another thing. Okay. So maybe that's the reason it hadn't been signed. But those are the pros and cons, at least for him, for Marquise Brown. Yep. Okay. Now I'm gonna get into my guy, Curtis Samuel. Okay. All right. Now this is what I'm saying about Curtis, and I've watched him over the years. He's a very talented guy. He has muscle and size to him on his frame. He can do it all. He can do it all. You could put him in the backfield. You could put him on the outside slot. You name it, jet sweep, reverses, he can do it all, okay? Curtis Samuel, like they say, Swiss Army knife, he is that guy. He is, when I'm talking about, perfectly geared for this type of offense. He is the perfect fit for what we do. When you need a guy, so you don't have to have Sky Moore run those routes, do all those things, Curtis Samuel could do it. And he can catch the football. He's got good catch radius. He's very athletic. He runs over guys. He's a big guy, solid guy, like put together. And I said this doing the evaluation of Curtis Samuel. And I've always liked him. I always liked Curtis Samuel. He got lost in that shuffle, man. When you have Dotson and you have McLaurin on the outside. When you have that three-headed monster, that's a tough one. That's tough to get, because some guys will eat up some of the catches. They eat up some of the time in the catches. Okay. I was the one saying this last year when it was the time of trade deadline.
Yep.
I said Curtis Samuels is the guy we need to go get. Why? One, he's been in the system that he was with EB that taught him exactly what he needed to do. Okay. And he did stay healthy. Yes, he did, Junior. He stayed healthy this year. Okay. A couple years ago, I think he's starting to take care of his body, starting to see a little bit, starting to grow somewhat, and it may take some time. But I look respectively, he has 62, 64 catches. And this is what I'm thinking of. If you have a guy like that is taking some of those routes away from Rashee Rice, now you can have Rashee Rice open up the way you want it to, okay? Now you can have Rashee Rice throwing deep balls to Rashee Rice, okay? You could, I'm telling you, Rashee Rice is your number one. You could have him as your number two. Curtis Samuel's doing all those other things, okay? Tight end, the wide receiver screens, we've seen that. We've seen how he was getting up the field. He's got explosion. He got speed, okay? And he's a bigger guy than Brown is, all right? So we're just going to be honest. I'm going to talk this. So if I'm sitting up and watching this, I'm like, yo, this dude right here makes a lot of sense to me. A lot of sense. This was last year I was saying this, right, Marcus?
Yeah.
And so – he's going to get you 60, 70 catches every year, 62, 64. And then you had McLaurin, you had Dotson, and Sam Howell throwing you the football? Come on, man. Which, you know, he did a good job. I think he did a good job this past year. But I think he'll speak the terminology. He'll have everything down when he comes to training camp. He's a plug-and-play guy you can put in right now. Hey, man, this is what we're running. Cool, we got it. Mooney's out of the picture, right? Mooney could have been that fit because he had Nagy. But now, EB, without a doubt, is sitting there saying, you know what? This guy right here can do the job. He can do it. If you in that commander's offense and they'll caught 62, 64 balls a year, you can have that. And I'm telling you, you can open up that deal with Rashee Rice. Throw the deep ball with this guy, okay? Back shoulder throws. You could let him go. And let him be what he was in college. You put it that way, okay? You don't have to be the gadget guy. You know, he got a lot of balls like the wide receiver screens. That could be the Samuel. But for them two guys or three who you want to retain and then get a guy in the draft too, come on. I'm telling you, I think it opens up an offense the way that we want to. It doesn't change anything that we do. Not at all. He runs everything that we ask him to run. So that's why I like Samuel. I like him a lot, okay? Yeah, he had a little history in the back end of hurting his – I think he had an ankle that he had to have surgery on. Of course, he had, like, the hamstring and stuff like that, but I do like him. Now, that's the con. The con is he had injury history, okay? But he hadn't been hurt in the last couple of years. He hadn't been hurt in the last few years. So – he's a guy that's a go-getter. I like his attitude. He loves playing football. I think whatever system he's going to be in, he's going to strive. He's just going to be a consistent guy that's going to get you 60-something catches a year. Why wouldn't you want to take that, right? A solid guy that can do all the things you want him to do. Jet sweeps, reverses, all those different things. Put him in the backfield. He can even take off some from Pacheco if you needed him to. He is a Swiss Army knife.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah, so that's what I like about him. That's what I like Samuel, right? So
in 2021, this is interesting, just a contractual question. Just because it's seeming like at this point, if we do sign a guy or two, maybe two, but it seems like it's going to be like a one-year prove-it deal to anybody we sign, just because, and that's the way it's going to be unless we draft a receiver. It seems like when we do get a vet, it's probably going to be a one-year deal-ish. And back in 2021, when he went from Carolina to Washington, he signed a three-year, $34.5 million deal.
Gave some money.
Now, at that point, obviously, it didn't work out. I mean, he had a groin injury. Was on a PUP with Washington his first year. And, you know, I mean, just overall, like, I guess he didn't live up to the expectations of what they thought he was going to be. And, you know, they had a new system, a new regime anyway in his last year there. But, like, where does that go as far as he signed a three-year, $34.5 million deal? Where does that go from this, like, with this offer here?
No, I think they just – they had a mouth to feed around there.
True.
Had a lot of mouths to feed. I mean, you got McLaurin and Dotson. That's a lot of mouths. And he just got a new tight end. Zach Ertz just went there.
Yeah.
So they might try. They might try to go somewhere different with another wide receiver. My thing is this, and Junior said he Debo-ish. He's the closest thing to Debo that is in the league than Debo.
Yeah.
He is that guy. He is Debo-ish. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. So I'm glad you said that, because I was saying the same thing. Like, yeah, he could definitely be that guy, like Debo is. He really can. So that's what I like about him. So it's always speculation of his injury history is what's going to get you, right?
Yeah.
So then we go to Josh Reynolds. Now, Josh Reynolds, for me.
Very different than the other two.
Very different. Very different guys. I think he's a good receiver. I don't know how much he's going to move the needle with offensively. Brown and Samuels are better than Reynolds. They are. Reynolds had flashes that he's like, oh my God, this guy's going to be great. And then all of a sudden he disappears and it's like, well, where's this dude at? What happened to Reynolds? So that's the thing with me. He's not as polished as these guys. Samuel and Brown run better routes. I think Brown, he learned some things up there. Josh Reynolds learned some things up there with the Mon-Saint Brown, probably. Yeah, he probably was like, hey man, this dude right here is the truth. Let me learn some things with him. But I think he's definitely a different receiver. Definitely a different receiver. My thing is, we're trying to upgrade. Is he going to be upgraded to what we have? That's the question. Does it give you the ability to let a guy like Rashee Rice go and just thrive? That's what I'm saying. So if you're looking for a guy to have, you know, come in and add on to what you're doing, I don't know Josh Reynolds does that for us. Okay? I'm just going to be honest.
Yeah.
Right? I'm just going to be honest. I'm not just going to call him a guy because he's just not no guy, but I think he's a young guy that could come in and get catches, but he's not going to move the needle for us. I just don't think so. Not like the other two can do for us at all.
And in agreement with you here, I think Josh Reynolds is not going to demand that much money. And I think, and this is, I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but I think Reynolds and what he's going to be asking for, I think you could either get a Hollywood Brown or Curtis Samuel and him. You get one of those two other guys and him, really. I think, I mean, because I don't think it would be one or the other. I think it would be like Hollywood or Samuel, one of those two. I don't think we're going to get either one of both of them. But I think you get Hollywood or Samuel, and you get Josh Reynolds, really. I think you could get him in that because, yeah, what he brings is totally different from them. And you also look at the age aspect. Hollywood's 26, Curtis Samuel's 27, and then Josh Reynolds 29 going on 30. So it's like that's – you know, when you get that 30 parts, you know, getting up there.
It's getting up there. It's getting up there. But yeah, that is a possibility. I wouldn't be mad with that either. I wouldn't be mad with that.
Oh, I would love that. Instantly better than last year's receiver room, top to bottom, to start out the season.
Right, right. Just me personally, not like that's why I gave you my pros and cons for each of those guys. But I don't think Reynolds by himself is going to be the one to move the needle. I just, you know, if you're gonna do that, just like we're sitting there talking about, you know, they're talking about Williams and Renfro. Okay. We're talking about two legit guys out here. And we don't know what they're gonna be asking for. I don't know what they're gonna be looking for. Williams wants some peace to take it all in. And then you look at the injury bug with him. Is he gonna be all right? I think that's the question. So that's the only thing you have to worry about.
So between those two, who would you rather have between Mike Williams and Renfro?
Man, different guys. A healthy Mike Williams is a dude that that sucker play. He could play some ball. He got better when I watched him from when he started to where he is now. He's a different animal. Different animal. Daggone, he ended up getting hurt. DJ Chark, Chark might be cheapest too.
That's a Reynolds type of guy.
Those guy, I think he's good. He's a good guy. He's a good receiver. I don't think he's gonna move the needle. I think if Curtis I keep going back to him. I think Curtis Samuels or Hollywood Brown come here, they're gonna have 60, 70 ball season. Definitely, no doubt about it. That's what you want. That's what you're looking for. Okay. That is definitely what you're looking for. So we'll see. I don't know how this thing's gonna play out. What about OBJ? Nobody brought his name up.
I might be wishful thinking on people's parts to not bring his name up.
I know it, but that joker, man. he's gonna be asking for some money.
I know. But also too, we talk about teams holding off to see who's gonna be released and stuff. Also on the other end, too. Everyone knew that Calvin Ridley was one of the hottest receivers going into this free agency. Do you think a lot of receivers maybe were holding off to see what Calvin Ridley got just to make that be, hey, like, look, he got this. I want this, like kind of thing.
I tell him, you are not no Calvin Ridley. but we can get you signed with what we want to give you. But you're not Calvin Ridley, okay? So – Sammy said OBJ could kick rocks, and then DeMonte Green said no. I was saying that last year. I'm like, nah, man. I'm like, yeah, OBJ, I don't think he'd be a good fit here. Like him. He's a talented guy, man, but
And the thing about everyone's talking about Mike Williams, if he can only stay healthy, when you mentioned if he can stay healthy, that's what Chargers fans were saying for the last since they drafted him. It's like, if only he could stay healthy, he'd be a top five receiver.
When that sucker is healthy, that sucker is a problem. Yeah. He's an absolute problem. So, but that's my pros and cons for the guys that we were speaking about wide receiver wise. And so mine would be, this is my preference, my opinion, Samuels, Brown, and then Reynolds. And, you know, I don't know as far as if they're looking for Renfro and we get Renfro here. I said I brought that name up last year too. I'm like, hey man, can we get him out of the deal? McDaniels didn't like him out there in Vegas. They got two monsters on the outside, so he got lost in that shuffle. Renfro can ball, okay? He can absolutely ball. He'd be great in this system, and this would be an absolute slap in the face if he comes here in the same division playing against them. So
yeah. Yeah, I mean, they probably weren't going to trade him to us, but yeah, you can now that he's a free agent, you can go wherever he wants. I'm seeing online Tyreek Hill's trying to recruit either him or Michael Thomas to Miami. I don't know why they would need another receiver. They've lost a lot of guys this offseason, so I don't know why he's trying to recruit more receivers to Miami. They already have enough over there as far as offensively. They need to recruit some other positions. But, yeah.
Donna Cochran says, I love OBJ. He wants another ring. I'm sure he does. Ain't nothing wrong with his talent at all. I think, you know, he's a talented guy, talented receiver. So always a question about him remaining healthy.
Yes.
That's the thing.
I think that's the thing with a lot of these guys at this point in time. Unless you're the first crop receivers that went fast, now you're playing the game of, man, like, this is why you have one-year prove-it deals. To say, like, hey, like, we're going to give you this. You just need to prove you need to stay healthy. Is a kind of a thing. Kind of what Juju did when he came from Pittsburgh to Kansas City. It was, hey, like, play out this year, see if you can stay healthy, and then you can go get your bag the following year. That's kind of what I'm sure Veach is talking to these guys about. Like, hey, like 1 year up to $8 million. If you could play your ass off and like stay healthy, then you can we may offer you a big time contract, or you'll earn someplace else for next year. But yeah, you'll definitely compete for a ring this year for sure. Stay healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. Kathy Welch, no offense, who Reynolds played for. He plays with Detroit Lions.
Yeah. And yeah.
He's been with the Rams. He's been with a few teams.
He followed Goff around. So he was with the Rams and then went to they dropped him from Tennessee, he went to Detroit. And ironically, someone brought up DJ Chark earlier. I'm pretty sure Chark and Reynolds were like rotating in the same reps because in Detroit together with each other. So like they're like same kind of guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next few days. That there's this one account online who a lot of people think he's like some person who's tied to an agency or somewhat. It's like names like something at Ricky something. I'm sure everyone who's in the chat knows. This guy's called like a lot of things so far this free agency. He's like some anonymous account. He's got like 10,000 followers in the last day because he called the Cal Ripley to Tennessee deal. He called a few other things. Everyone's like, whoa, what was his account? He deleted his account for a little while ago. And they reopened up again, and he still maintains that Hollywood Brown will be coming to Kansas City. So that's what he said. He said it's knee trade has to happen first, and then Hollywood Brown will come. So we'll see what happens with that. But Legarius Snead time, we're going to talk about that right now. So deciding what to do with Legarius Snead, should the Chiefs keep or trade Legarius Snead? So rumors are going rampant right now. Last night, Tennessee Titans were on the heels of getting Legarius Snead. And then today, Indianapolis is apparently the team to beat out if the Chiefs do decide to trade Legarius Snead. So the Chiefs now have the cap space to allow Snead to play on the tag, yet Snead's trade value will likely never be higher, JD. So we have a couple options here. Either keep Legarius Snead this year, and he can contribute to the Super Bowl run, again, to go for the three-peat, or we trade him at peak value. It seems like it's a win-win. You get to keep Legarius Snead and compete for a championship, or you trade him and get a second or a third-round pick. So my question to you is, JD, what are we doing here? If it was up to you, or you're putting your Brett Veach GM hat on, what are we doing? Are we going to let him play out this tag this year, or are we going to try to get a second or third round pick for him?
So I like Snead. Let me say that first. I like Snead a lot. This is a tough one. Because it comes down to business, and how you become expendable is if you're making too much money, and if they find somebody can do relatively what you can do. Okay. And I do believe that the Chiefs believe that they have depth at that position with Joshua Williams and Watson. So they believe they could probably get away with that. They're going to push to see about the highest bidder. Okay? That's what they're looking for. And if they can get something that is somewhat delectable to them, they're going to do that. I think they will try to trade Snead. Because if you trade Snead, you could take the money, use it elsewhere, right? You can elongate your money. That can be maybe possibly getting a free agent defensive end here or pass rusher, because Minnehu's going to be out for a little while. And if you need to go that route to get somebody, I don't know if you want to go into the draft to do it. Use your picks for a guy. I think that's the only reason they would think this, okay? Or maybe a tackle or somebody else in free agency that they may want to use the money on. But I love Snead. He's one of the most underrated corners in the NFL. But he's a baller. I think everybody knows this. In the football world, they know how good he is. We know how good he is for the Chiefs kingdom. I think other teams, you know, other fans out there don't really recognize it. He didn't make the Pro Bowl, which I always couldn't understand. Brother Lance the Spoken was talking about that teams maybe like, hey, you know, maybe his knee getting cleaned out could be a something to be said. There's validity in that. But I do believe that the Chiefs are entertaining trading Snead away. I do. Because we see so much of all these different teams are looking to try to get Snead. Well, we just not going to let him just go. We're not. We know we like, nah, we'd rather keep him here. If anything, okay? Pay him the tag, okay? Pay him that. But like I said, it's going to go to the highest bidder. And they're pushing to get a second round pick. I'm sure they probably try to get a first because they know how good he is. Okay? They know that. It would be a shame to for a guy like that to be gone. It'd be a shame for him to be gone. But this is NFL business. Okay? I'm just going to speak on NFL business. All right? It's like I said, it's not a popularity contest. But you're always thinking about moving forward. Okay? Well, that's the thought process. It's a thought process. Could we keep him? Sure. We absolutely could. Does it limit you what you can do with money? Yeah, it does. So that's where I'm at with this, Marcus. You hate to see these times come, and we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. But
how long do you see this going? Because I mean, obviously, they're seeing these accounts saying, "Oh, it's going to happen soon." You know, because it's a $19 million cap hit right now for us, and by trading him, it creates more opening for us. And we don't have to keep him. We can bring in more guys. Do you see this going? Because obviously now we can let him play on the tag, so we can keep him for as long as we want to, and we can trade him on draft night if we want to. Do you foresee this happening where it comes down to draft night, or do you see this happening beforehand?
Probably beforehand.
Okay.
Probably be done beforehand. At least I know teams will be pushing for it now because they want Snead. There's teams that need him. I'm talking about needing. And so they're going to throw some things that, like I said, offer they can't refuse. And the Chiefs are going to make sure that whatever team does it, that you are, look, you're going to have to give us something for this type of talent. Okay? You have to force our hand to say, you know, okay, fine. That's what it is. So what popularity helps you with jersey sales and revenue? I mean, it does, but, you know, championships is what they're looking for. And so if you get more championships, he's going to sell some jerseys, but guess what? Whoever comes here is going to sell a jersey too. That's the business. Okay? That's the business. So I don't think they're looking for jersey sales. They're going to get the revenue because you got Super Bowl champions. That's what you have. It's the Chiefs. And I'm going to say this. And this is always no, all right, in the league. That nobody's bigger than the brand. Nobody's bigger than this. You see that logo? This? Nobody's bigger than that. And as much as we may not like this, it's all business, okay? It's all business. And so if these things happen that all of a sudden we get maybe one or two guys, let's say we get somebody in the draft. Let's just scenario that Indianapolis Colts, who has pick number 46, okay, in round two, all right? And I'm seeing that they have, I don't think they'll give us the 15th pick, okay? But let's say they give us a round two or maybe a round four or something, right? All right, something that we can get. These could be the next corners. These could be the next defensive ends. These could be the next wide receivers, the next whatever type. These things help you out, help your teams out, especially if you're a little hamstrung in other positions, okay, which we will be going into the season. That's the thing about it. So that's what you have to address, right? Places that you may not be so good at. Our corner position is the best in the NFL. depth wise and everything else, we don't have no problem issues. We don't. We got McDuffie, Pro Bowl corner, and we got two capable guys, okay? And Joshua Williams, Jalen Watson. We do. And all the other guys that could come in to help out, right? So that's the thing about it. That's a great issue and a problem to have, okay? Because we got depth there. We have got depth. So we just got to understand, man, this is a business decision. Okay. And if you start thinking, well, shoot, who do we have at tackle? Do we have to go get a tackle in the draft? Is it something that we need to address? Are we okay with Wanya Morris? I like Wanya Morris, but the Chiefs may not be. Okay. Hey, I like King Felix and I love George Kolakis. But we may need another pass rusher. When we brought those things up on Monday and the guys that we retained and who we have on the list. Can we go get another free agent guy? There's some free agents out here that are still walking around that the Chiefs can use to help them win. Okay? We're just not going to get guys. So, it is not a popularity contest as much as we want it to be. Right? Yeah. We see how it changed. The popularity contest changed when if people didn't want to give Chris Jones money.
Mm-hmm.
Sucking name was Mud for some people. I'll let him go. And say, okay. You got the best in the business, right? So,
and then also you talk about the outrage when we traded Tyreek Hill for all those picks.
Oh man!
So like we've already proven that we can turn a great, phenomenal player, and I'm not even gonna compare what Tyreek Hill is to his position to where Snead is to his position. I mean, I'm not saying Snead, but I'm saying there's different levels. Tyreek Hill's got probably gonna be in the Hall of Fame. I don't know if Snead's gonna be in the Hall of Fame, but. We were able to flip Tyreek Hill for a lot of assets. And I don't think we're going to get the same amount of assets, but I think we're going to get maybe multiple picks for Snead. And absolutely. I trust our GM enough to flip those picks into something that's going to be worthwhile for us in the next few years.
It's got to be two, if not three. You're talking about two this year, one next year, possibly, right?
Yeah.
And then, sure, we can't say, well, we're on a 6th or 7th round pick, don't matter. Yeah, it does. Absolutely does.
Yeah.
Got potential 7th round. Didn't we? Got our starter running back in that draft.
We got Snead in the 4th round.
Got Snead in the 4th round. So, hey man, we could. There's a lot of workings. There's a lot of things we can do. You know that could be. That could definitely be a benefit for us by doing that. As much as I hate to see something like that go down, we know that's a possibility. Okay, and yep. I know that's what you're thinking. Should have drafted Sam LaPorta instead of King Felix. Oh, Randy. Right. Hey, man. True. Sorry. But look, we got our best tight end in the game. And King Felix is going to be all right. He's going to get better this year.
I will say with that, though, last year's tight end draft class was significantly better. It's deeper than this year's tight end draft class. And I still think what Green Bay did offensively, getting Tucker Kraft and Musgrave, they did a pretty good job going to get both those guys last year. And I wanted one of those guys. And they got both of them. And they also have their stellar young rookie receiving group. What those guys are doing in Green Bay, that front office are doing a fantastic job drafting their offensive skill players.
Yeah. We're like, Chris Jones barely made double-digit sacks last season until the postseason. Will CJ make double-digit sacks numbers next? Come on, man. Of course. Yes. To flip 969, Donna Cocker got Chris Jones is a game record. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And he'll definitely be down. So,
and we don't have 3 Super Bowl wins without CJ for sure.
There's no way around it.
Nope.
Jerome Bunkers. Hey, what do you say? Hey, Marcus and Jason, late jumping in. If the Chiefs don't trade Snead, are they required to pay the tag amount or they can negotiate with him? Well, they got him on a tag, so they're going to tag him. So that's pretty much a done deal. If they put it in and we tag it and you can't pull it back. I think the collective bargain agreement tells you that.
Mm-hmm. So and that's why trading him would give us that $19 million back. Hence why a lot of people want that money in order to kind of do other things with it. And maybe even get a receiver. That's why the report right now, one of the rumors out there is a trade Snead. Then we go get Hollywood Brown, give us more money to play with and add guys by doing so.
Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, well, that's the report. That's not me saying that. That's the report from this rookie guy. You guys need to look at this guy's Twitter account. You guys need to look at what he's predicted over the last few days. The guy started. What's that?
Which one besides the Calvin Ridley going to Tennessee? Is that?
Hold on. I'll pull the other ones up. I mean, he predicted the Brian Burns to New York trade.
Okay,
that was also another one he did. Because there's somebody else that asked me that earlier. Hold on. I mean, this guy's the real deal. I'm telling you, JD, this guy's the next big thing. A lot of people think he's related or somehow is a part of an agency, a sport agency, and has gone rogue and kind of like just tweeting out stuff. And let me put it this way. Start his Twitter account on Monday. The guy already has 10,000 followers. 2 days and 10,000 followers. It's ridiculous. I can't. Yeah, it was Brian Burns. I'm trying to find the other ones he did. It was Brian Burns and Ridley to Tennessee were the only two that I remember off the top of my head. I'm trying to see the other ones, but yeah.
Well,
and Mooney to Atlanta also.
Okay. So
these are like obscure ones that he's even pulling out. Like Mooney to Atlanta. Like who's predicting that?
Yeah, that was a shocker to me for sure.
What's up, Kyle? What's up, brother?
What's up, Kyle? My man.
By the way, I hope everyone's safe in Kansas City. I realize that there's a big storm going on there right now, so I hope everyone's staying safe, staying inside, watching Chief Concerns inside the house in a very safe setting. So, I saw a report on Twitter earlier of that. So I hope everyone's staying safe and staying indoors. So we're going to go to our last topic tonight. So one of the big things that right now is another rumor. Obviously, nothing's happened so far besides Irv Smith, besides retaining our own guys. But it's rumor season, people. This is the fun stuff. Rumor, Chiefs could look to add former Ravens running back J.K. Dobbins. We've talked about with McKinnon and C.H., both free agents. We've talked about bringing another guy to spell Isaiah Pacheco. There's one guy that I have that in my own mind that I want to go get him, which I think you and I've talked about him before, and you weren't a big fan of him for us. But J.K. Dobbins is one apparently we are rumored to be interested in J.K. Dobbins. This is another guy. And it's kind of been the constant narrative tonight. Injury concerns. The guy's had pretty much injury concerns since he's been in the league. And also, Jerick McKinnon had injury concerns too when we got him. That was kind of thing, could never stay healthy. Now, J.D., Dobbins was one of the first running backs taken on that draft a few years back. He has been able to stay healthy, unfortunately. What do you make of? And if it's a cheap deal to bring in J.K. Dobbins to spell Pacheco, would that be someone that would you be interested in that?
Cheap deal?
If
it's a cheap deal, yeah. Depends on what the deal is. It's hard, man. I feel sorry for this guy.
Me too.
Yeah, really, seriously, man. He's every year, he's, oh, man, he's going to be good. He's coming out. He's going to be fine. Something else happens, man. Dadgod. But, yeah, I don't know. J.K. Dobbins, my thing is, too, it's important that we get a guy that is very good in pass protection, right? And it's hard to mimic when you have a guy that was so great in McKinnon. And I don't know how good as far as like the pass protection, I don't know how good he is or capable he is in that position. He can run when he's that Joker can rumble. He can rumble when he picks him up, putting him down. But the injury bug, man, it's not good for a running back.
It's terrible.
How many times? It just... Yeah, McKinnon, he was able to bounce back.
Yep.
He is. But he's a different guy than Dobbins is.
Yeah, very different.
Yeah. So
now let me throw a name at you that has not been I haven't heard him rumored to anywhere. He's a free agent. He's a guy that you and I have talked about before, but I'm a huge fan of his. He's a guy that is a receiver running back. He's played both in his career. One of the best return men of all time. He can catch out of the backfield. You can line him up and catch. I think he would replace the McKinnon being able to catch at the backfield reps perfectly. As far as his pass pro, I think he's a decent pass protector. Probably not a strong suit. Do you know the name I'm about to say or no?
Darren Sproles?
No. No, why does this guy retire for like 10 years now?
I'm messing with you. No, I don't know who you talking about. Who's that?
Cordarrelle Patterson.
Who?
Would you how would you feel about that one? Because that's a name I haven't heard that much, and he's a free agent.
Yeah.
I think, and that's a guy who's not going to break the bank by any means. He's played for, I think he has all 32 jerseys on his wall, because I think he's played for every team in the league besides us. What do you think about his? He'd be an interesting guy. I think that'd be a unique skill set to have under Andy Reid's guys.
I mean, if you're going to do that, just go get Curtis Samuels.
Yeah.
Go get him. I don't know. I you know what? I've never been a big Cordarrelle Patterson guy.
Really?
Oh, never. I get, and he's effective. Utilize it. He's done some great things, man. Some great things. I don't know. I just never been a big fan of it. Have it.
Interesting.
And I know he's done a lot as far as, you know, return man and get in the backfield, but I think he is kind of a gimmick guy. You try to find a place for him to go to do. But man, I don't know. I don't know, Marcus. I'm not really on that one.
I thought I was onto something with this Cordarrelle Patterson business.
I mean, hey, shoot, it could, I don't know.
Because let's say you don't get Curtis Samuel. Cordarrelle Patterson is more talking about Brett Veach territory. I think he'd be more of Brett Veach territory than Curtis Samuel. I mean, hopefully they're not being cheap about filling these receiver spots. But you know,
we need a pure receiver, and that's what Curtis Samuel is. But that joker can run the football. He could do it all, and that's what he gives you. He gives you all that, you know, like more Debo-ish guy.
Yeah,
that we're talking about. Patterson is that he's not really a pure receiver, but you ain't gonna catch a lot of balls out the backfield. You see him on the outside, here comes the reverse. You know he's gonna do football. You don't know what he's gonna do, right?
Yeah.
So,
speaking of Samuel, I don't know. There's reports today. Apparently, the Ravens have called San Francisco 49ers for Debo Samuel services. Which is an interesting thing. I mean, there hasn't been one like really crazy trade yet. Everyone's like, well, what the heck happened? So that could be something. I don't know. Nothing like that's happened yet.
Man, where is Baltimore getting all this money? It seems like Baltimore just got unlimited money from just
them and Philadelphia. I feel the same way about Philly.
Right. I'm like, man, why are y'all not over the cap? How is that possible? How are y'all making these things happen? But you know,
so you're out on Cordarrelle Patterson and you're out on Dobbins unless it's a very cheap deal.
Unless it's a very cheap deal, okay. We still got the Prince there. The Prince is there. Young Prince.
We do have the Prince. Yes.
Yes.
Front of the show. Front of the show.
And so, I think he could give us something next year. I'm telling you, and Joker, he can give us something. And I think that 1-2 punch with him and Pacheco, if we needed something, Prince can do it. So
yeah,
I like him a lot.
Okay. Yeah. Hard worker.
Yeah. And our brother D Block, you know what I'm saying? Derek Blaylock put a stamp on him.
He vouches for him.
Yes, he does. You got to stand on it, man. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll see. I'm curious. I think receiver should be on the top priority right now as far as what we do. I don't want to see or hear about running back, none of that until receiver's taken care of. Then, in a couple of weeks, if they do want to go running back, sure, go sign a running back for vet minimum.
Yeah, for sure,
Yeah. But all right, everybody. Well, everyone, amazing chat tonight. You guys are fantastic. You know, you guys,
as always.
predicting our topics for the episode tonight. It was amazing. It was rattling off one after another. You guys like, oh, ask this. I'm like, oh, well, perfect. We got that in the show next. So it was great to hear from everybody. And again, I hope everyone stays safe, stay inside. I'm seeing with tornado watch till 1 a.m. tonight. So everyone try to stay inside and watch the Big 12 tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. Y'all take care. Appreciate each and every one of y'all coming out here. And like you said, stay safe. Keep an eye on it. I know how Kansas City weather is like. I don't really miss that as much, that part of it.
But
it was hailing. Yeah. So, yeah, now y'all take care of yourselves out there. You know, blessings to y'all. Hope everybody, you know, comes through well. All right. Healthy. But loving each and every one of y'all. Thank you so much. Sometimes it's hard when I'm watching, I'm looking at some of the comments out here. It's very entertaining to look at some of these things. It goes pretty fast.
Yeah, they're the best. Our guys, our Chief Concern Maniacs. I will say before we go, I mentioned on Monday's show, tomorrow on our Bleacher Report, we'll post the link on our Twitter account tomorrow at 2 p.m. We're going to be doing a grade show of the Chiefs offseason so far. Hopefully by tonight to tomorrow's show, there is a Hollywood Brown or Curtis Samuel signing or something, because right now all we have to go on is our own guys, which is great. I mean, Chris Jones and Drew Chamberlain's an A-plus as it is, but hopefully there's a little bit more to it. But yeah, so tomorrow at 2 p.m. on Bleacher Report, we'll be on. We'll have a show. Tej will be joining us. And then if you guys can't make that, it'll be on our YouTube channel shortly after that. So we'll see you guys at 2 p.m. tomorrow. Love you, JD.
Love you too, my brother. All right. Love y'all out there. See y'all later. Be safe.
Love you, everybody. Be safe, everybody. Have a good one. Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.